Even Satan says that the soul is precious because he blinds the eyes of men. He uses the god of this world to blind your eyes. God put an estimate upon the soul when he made this world, and he looked at it, and then he saw man in need, and he looked at his beloved son, and he said, I'll send him to save the soul of man. That's why we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Holy Spirit is convinced that the soul is valuable because the Holy Spirit speaks to man about sin, righteousness, and judgment. The church prizes the preciousness of human souls because men have died at the stake for the church and Christ. They have been hung, they have been shot, they have been murdered. They have all in the church given their best for the souls of men. The young missionary who went to the Congo, whose little child died and they buried him behind the thatched roof house. No one there but the husband and wife. And later on, a raging fever possessed his wife after the birth of the second child, and she died, and the missionary buried her behind the house, the thatched roof house. Not a single soul in the universe to be there to comfort him. He accomplished it all alone. He came back to the States to get somebody to take care of the second child. And then on his return, somebody remonstrated with him, why do you go back to those people? He says, brother, do you not have any care for the souls of lost men who are going to hell? As I worked on this sermon this past week, it was at night. I was all alone, and my telephone rang. And a dear lady said and spoke to me and identified herself. I said, yes, I remember you. She said, you married me a year ago. I said, yes, I fully remember the experience. I said, what can I help you with tonight? She says, I'm calling to tell you my husband just died. And then I went back in my memory and I began to think how I tried to press upon that man the importance of following God and lining up with the church. And then I further remembered that I had not only accomplished that personally, but I had given his name and address to another pastor of another church. And I've said, perhaps you can get this man interested. The preciousness of a soul, we so glibly pass by it. And we say, oh, he's a drunk, or he's a downbeat, or he'll never change. But there is the preciousness of the soul that we have to face and reckon with. The second thing I want to say about this text is this. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? I want to say a word to you about the profit of the world. It has to do with gain. The world hates the church. And man says, my work will live forever. But I say to a man, here is poison. If you drink it, you'll die. And if he does, his blood is on his hands. If I say to a man in a boat that's headed toward a rapids, you're in danger, and he continues on his way, he'll crash because of his own choice. Pharaoh built his pyramids and said they'll stand and last forever, but they're tottering. Some of them are still here, but age is devouring them. They built their temples and said they're everlasting, but these are passing away. Where is Nineveh today? Where is Babylon today? Where is Edom today? Where is Xerxes today? Who says, I've conquered this world and I've gained the world. In their pride, these monarchs said, we're everlasting. They had fallen and have fallen as though they had a millstone around their neck. A beast says, the world is enough. Now let me use a simple illustration. When you take some medicine, especially some liquid medicine, say for example, something like castor oil, you get a certain flavor in your mouth. I think you do. I remember as a boy taking it. And it just fills your mouth with that taste. And here we are out in the world, feasting on the world. We have a basket of apples that we have bought from Sodom. Nebuchadnezzar said, here is old Babylon, I have built it. It's the greatest. I'm a king, I'm a man, look at me. Turn around and look at that old Nebuchadnezzar as he's down on his all fours and his hair is like the feathers of an eagle and his fingernails like the claws of a beast. Any man who stands against God and claims this world for profit is doomed for failure. Belshazzar had drunken from the sacred vessels, set himself up as the king of the earth, but the handwriting of God appeared on the wall. Herod spoke, and the people said, this is God, not man, speaking. What shall it profit a man, the profit of this world, though you gain the whole world? Just a few years back, I want to tell you the story about a doctor. He was sitting there in his living room, watching his television, listening to a man that all of America has heard about. Senator Barry Goldwater. He had just been nominated to run for president of the United States, and he stood on television and he said, we need every honest businessman. We need some good, solid men, professional men to get in politics and to take their places. Out here in our America, and as he spoke, that doctor said to himself, I ought to run for the U.S. Congress. Nobody knew him outside of his little district. Nobody had never heard of this doctor. Outside of the little group of Mexicans and others that he ministered to there. And so he was urged on with that possession. He was always wanting to get ahead and to make more money. And so he put his lot in And the campaign started. And believe it or not, in the primary he won. He won in the primary. He was second only to one man who had been in political office for 20 years. But the doctor waged his battle in that runoff. But the doctor had never learned how to talk two ways out of his mouth. And as the campaign went on, he had television ads and advertisements and billboards and all of these other things going for him. Once in a while, he'd see a new billboard. He says, "That's wonderful. Some of my friends are working for me." He'd see a new ad on the TV. He'd hear something on the radio. And he'd say, "All of my friends, it's wonderful how they are coming and rallying to my support." Well, make a short, long story short, when the votes were in, that man who had been in office and in politics for 20 years won the race and the doctor lost. And then the bills become were due. He began to pay off his advertisements. And then the bills, sure enough, began to come in. The unauthorized bills for the billboards. He hadn't authorized anybody to put them up. The bills from the TV station, $20,000, $30,000 a whack. From the radio stations, they all began to send in their bills. You see, if a man wins, you never hear much about these extra bills, you know, that are accumulated for advertisement and so on. But he lost. And they come in. $50,000, $75,000 coming in. And they were demanding cash. And the dear doctor scratched his head. "Well, I'll have to pay." So he began to pay. And he paid and he paid and he paid until he had no more money left. And then his wife discovered him one day in the backyard, sitting in a chair with a common rake, just a yard rake, raking in the sand, trying to make a straight line. He was sitting there raking, making straight lines. Every time, it wasn't exactly right. Just with a rake, day after day. His wife discovered that something had happened to the doctor. And she, being a Christian, went to the preacher. And she said, "I wonder if you'd come by and talk with him." And so the pastor came by. And the preacher came to the backyard and observed the doctor sitting there with a rake, raking some straight lines. And he said to him, "What are you trying to do?" He says, "I'm trying to make some straight lines." And the preacher said to him this, "You are torn between two worlds." Let me tell you about one of the worlds. And he began to tell him about God's world and about Jesus and how he came and how he has already paid the debts for your sins And you are trying to fix your life into two worlds. Something snapped in the doctor. He had never heard that phrase before, or about God. And he said, I believe I'll choose God. And he told the preacher, I have been torn between two worlds. I had my mind set on material things and prosperity. And he said, I want to tell you the truth. I was sitting here in this chair. I knew I was losing my mind. When he got his world straightened out, his health came back to him. He had new vigor. He went back to work. And he went on to be a successful man, because he no longer majored on the profit of the world. The United Nations tells us they want peace. They're talking about military peace, not peace with God, not the peace of man, not the peace that God gives, but they want the world. And we're so wrapped up in the profits of the world. A couple bought a home up in Colorado, $250,000. It was a right nice little shanty up there in the ski resort area. Had a couple bedrooms in it and so on. A couple from Bolivia come along and rent it for 1 week and want to buy it. What is the price of this house? $750,000. The profit of the world. The rich young ruler had all his popularity. He sought the world. Herod, his power, Pilate, his pleasure. Have you ever counted the cost of your soul if it should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted the cost? Darwin confessed he had starved his soul. Fats Waller used to sing, don't give nobody your right name. You're out in the world, you're going to make all that you want. Rick Carno of the Hells Angels, he said, we were named that because we were bad boys. He said, because we were worshipers of Satan. When Satan got us, we knew Satan would get us a woman, get us a bike, and get us money. And when he took an overdose and was down and out, it took a little old-aged woman who knew Jesus Christ to get him up on his feet again. The prophet of the world. The preciousness of the soul. Now the third thing. The preservation of the soul. If you lose this soul, what are you going to give in exchange for it? In verse 35 or 34, how shall I preserve my soul? Jesus called them and said, whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross is the way you're going to preserve your soul. That farm boy in North Dakota out there, who went to a religious meeting and God grabbed him, and he came home and he said, "Daddy, I'm going to be, I want to be a medical missionary." His daddy looked at him and he said, "Why, you? Why, you 15 years old? Your grades are the worst in school? How are you going to do it?" Well, he finished high school and he sent him off to the University of Minnesota. And you know, when he graduated at Minnesota from the medical school, where he was, number one man. Number two man was his friend. Number one man, this boy from the farm, went to Africa as a missionary, medical missionary. And you know what his fabulous salary was? $9,500 a year. The number two man, who also graduated at the same time, set him up a clinic. And his first year's intake was $500,000. There is something about the profit of the world and the preservation of the soul. If you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. The Bible spells it out, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Today we are wrapped up in our schedules, our filing systems, our alarm systems. We even journey down the highway by red and green lights. If we need something, we go to the dictionary. If we want to know something, we go to the almanac or the encyclopedia. We look around this world. If we want somebody to support us, we get to the government and say, "Support us." And every last one of us will vote for a big purse wherever we go. The kind of living we're doing today in the world and profit of the world is producing the highest rate of broken homes, the greatest delinquency among youth and adults, the greatest influx in hospitals. Half of the hospital beds in America today are filled with those suffering from mental illness. How do we decide which world we would like to live in and be a part of? Jesus said, first by denying yourself for Christ. It focuses on not what we have, but what He can give. When Bartimaeus that day was by the roadside with his robes on him, crying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And the people said to him, "Shut up." And Bartimaeus cried louder. And the Bible says when Jesus spoke to him, he cast away his garment, his coat. He had a right to a coat to keep him warm in the winter or cool in the summer as he sat by the roadside begging. But the thing that impresses me about the situation is that he cast aside everything that he had that would hinder him or cause him to stumble and made his way to Jesus. That is denying. I wonder if you are prepared, if I am prepared to renounce my pride, your lust, your fears. If you are, rise, for the Master calleth for thee. The second way to preserve your soul is to decide for Jesus. Let him take up his cross and follow me, he says. That's personal effort on your part. And then thirdly and finally, dare for Christ. He says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel shall save it. The preservation of the soul is precious. The profit of the world is useless. And the preservation of your soul is important. Alexander the Great conquered the whole world and cried, because there were not yet other worlds and nations to conquer. And we conquer our little bit of the world, and then we have yearnings and cravings, oh, if I had but a little more of this world. The temptation of every man. Are you torn between two worlds? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain this whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? God says you have a soul, the conscious part of you, that part that lives on, that part that will never die, but will live either in hell or in heaven, is precious. Let us pray. Our Father, today we thank Thee that we can make a verdict. We thank Thee today that if some of us have been placing our emphasis in the wrong place, we can change and exchange it. We pray today, our Father, for those who may be and have been a huge success in their eyes in the world. May they today come and discover that denying Christ or self for Christ and deciding and daring to take their place with Him is what He demands. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts and help us to decide honestly. Some boy, some girl, some man or woman, someone who is delayed, someone who has been torn between two worlds. They've been trying to live for Satan. May the Holy Spirit turn them around to live in your world for you. Amen. We invite you today, if you're not a Christian, to come and take your stand for Jesus. We invite you today, if you have your membership somewhere else and you'd like to make this your church home, to come and take your stand for Him. If there is some other decision for dedication of your life to Him, you have been emphasizing the wrong thing. You would like today to declare you're going to deny yourself, take up His cross, and follow Him. Come and take your place on the front pew and make your decision just now. Jesus.
crosses tenderly calling thee home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away, calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to shalt be blessed, he will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling in
I do not know your heart, you do. You know whether or not you have been living for this world. You know what has been in your mind, in your heart. What do you think about most? What has the priority in your thinking? Is it the profit of the world? Though you could gain it all, it wouldn't help your soul, just not one inch. It wouldn't benefit the soul at all. Though I should gain it all, you wouldn't exchange what you gain for your soul, would you? If your soul is not satisfied today, and if you have not turned your life over to Jesus, and if you're not in his will, if you've never said yes to him, if you've never united with his church, if you've never been baptized, if you've never taken up the cross and followed Jesus, then I'm fearful that you've been putting too much